Namaste. I would like to talk with you this morning about the courage to be conscious. We use the word consciousness a lot in our spiritual conversations, but not so much connected with courage. And the reason that it's important to speak of these two things together is because the world is asking us today to be more aware in our consciousness of what's happening around us. The world is asking us to play a part in the drama of life, which includes the drama of light and darkness, that is playing out on the national stage and on the world stage in terms of events that we feel dismayed about or events that we feel hopeful about. The world is asking us, and our own souls are asking us, to become more conscious of life and to not separate out, as we tend to do because of fatigue and overwhelm and just habit, separate out our personal life and our personal surroundings, which includes our physical body and where we're living and those who are immediately related to us, family or friends. Do not separate out our personal life from the context of the world that we're living in. We are being asked today to become conscious and to have the courage to become more aware. So I want to share with you some of the reasons that it requires courage. One of them is that we need to overcome the belief that what we do as individuals doesn't matter. The numerical ratio that we come up with about 7 billion people on the planet and one person being who you are, therefore what can you do, is not valid in spiritual terms. It's simply not valid. And so the premise of being conscious and of having courage to be conscious involves the understanding in a deep, deep way of transparency, that there is no such thing as being neutral. It doesn't exist energetically. Everything that you are, everything that you carry, everything that you hold to be your deepest belief of truth, interacts with everything around you. It's not possible to be neutral. It's possible to not think. It's possible to not be aware. But energetically, it's not possible. So courage comes up in being willing to let go of the familiar ways of spending time in thought and allowing for something larger to take place. In order to do that, there has to be a perception both that it's possible and also that it's needed. If your daily awareness is filled with worry about finances or about your physical body or about a particular problem that's come up in your life, of which there are a great many, then there's no space to do anything else but pay attention to that. You have given yourself to that problem. You may not feel that you've given yourself to that problem, which is often why the consciousness becomes focused in a small way, because it feels like a problem has taken over. So, the belief needs to change that consciousness is limited to just this one thing that's presently occupying our mental screen. If you choose that, the perspective of worry or whatever the present issue is in your life, then that will be the focus of your attention during the day. And then your radar, your visual, mental, emotional landscape will not be aware. You simply won't be aware. You'll just be aware of whatever meets your personal needs at that moment in time. So there has to be a choice to be freer, which means not focusing just on the thing that's immediately presenting itself. And that choice to be freer is connected with love. If the heart isn't engaged to want to be larger, to want to care about the suffering of others, then you can tell yourself to be spiritually correct, but it's not going to work. It's like a diet that one engages in for a period of time. You tell yourself you should lose weight, but and so it goes for a period of time, and then it's over, and then you're on to the next diet sometime down the road. It doesn't work through the will. It has to work through the heart. But because of the time that we're in, the heart is becoming activated, every heart, your heart. And there needs to be a willingness to live more from the heart in order to pay attention to what is happening in life. What is happening in life? What do you see when you look around you of the bigger picture? Another reason to have courage is because the emotional self that's not necessarily firmly anchored in soul's truth can feel dismay, discouragement, hopelessness, fear, all kinds of emotions about feeling helpless to change the things that are not seeming to go in a good direction around us. So then the emotional self takes over, and then consciousness becomes constricted to not pay attention to those larger perspectives. So then there's two places I'm pointing you towards. One is the courage to get larger and to think that there's more of you than your individual personal problems or personal sphere of focus. And the second is the courage to face the feelings that come up when you look at what's happening in the world. That can only happen, the facing of those feelings, if you feel the underlying steadfastness in the place of light, the truth of light. If you feel that everything is happening in a chaotic way and that's all, that's the narrative. It's just what's out there, that's what's happening. Then it will seem to you that there's not much you can do, and maybe it would be better to put it in another compartment to be looked at every once in a while, but not on a regular basis. So courage is needed to maintain steadfastness, steadfastness of attunement to the purposes of light. And if you lack that, or if you don't know how to do that, then that's a reason to strengthen a spiritual practice which attunes you to the purposes of light. Everyone needs that. It doesn't necessarily have to be a formal spiritual practice. There are people in the world who, out of the innocence of their heart, believe in the goodness of life. They don't have to do a thing. People everywhere have that possibility of just feeling their own innocence, and out of that innocence, trusting that things will change in a good direction. But that pure innocence is not accessible to everybody. If it were, the world would be in a different state. And so those particularly of us who are more aware of energies, of light and darkness, or of things that are creating isolation and things that are creating greater unity, we have to be more conscious of how we're aligned throughout the day. And I'm telling to you with as much feeling of importance as I can convey that there's no such thing as being neutral. If you ignore what's happening in that spot where your energetic position is in the realm of the network of life, in that spot, that's radiating out as an absence of something, that indifference, or that neutrality, or that desire to be invisible. That's not neutrality. That is an energy of consciousness, or a quality of consciousness, that has an effect. And what it does to hold that, let's say to hold that there's too much happening and I am I can't afford to be involved with that because I have too much going on at home, or I have too much going on financially. I have too much going on. What that does is it creates a reinforcement for all the other people you contact who also feel that they have too much going on to pay attention. You are not neutral, and what you communicate through the values you hold in your heart reinforces or changes or helps to change the values that other people around you have. Everything is energy, and the desire to avoid, based on the feeling of not mattering, or based on the fear of being overwhelmed by distress, or based on the sense of hopelessness, all of that is an energy. The thought is an energy. It goes out from you wherever you are. So the courage to be steadfast is an anchor point in a spiritual life, and it has to be connected with our heart. It has to be connected with something that says, I came here to make a difference. I may feel that I'm one small person in a sea of 7 billion, but it's not the truth. And what I'm adding to this, as when I talk about consciousness, is that we have gotten used to separating the word activity into something that's outer from something that's inner. We look at being active in the sense of doing something, supporting a cause, going to a protest, joining a committee, working for the town council. It's all good, but those are outer activities. And that's because we don't understand that consciousness is an action. Consciousness is an action of radiant energy that broadcasts, and that the activity is inner. It's not outer, and it's valid in its own terms. As we approach July 4th, there is an increased reason for my giving you this perspective, because without consciousness, we are not in a position to help the general tenor of what's going on in this country change into something better. If we are unaware, if we feel we make no difference, if we feel there's no space, if we feel that our heart isn't big enough, or we're not big enough, then we go back to what I said earlier, the division between the personal life, which you take care of, and let everybody else take care of their life. That's the perspective of separation, which is an energy. And that energy that creates the belief that each person should take care of themselves is what is moving into collective awareness now, opposing the energy that says, we are here to take care of each other. We are here to be together in life and to take care of each other. So if you go into the place of, I can only take care of myself and let everybody take care of themselves, then you are part of that collective energy that's saying the same thing. Now, I understand very well that we have limitations of time in our days. We do. But the prayer to be of help to the suffering of others doesn't take a lot of time. It takes consciousness. It doesn't take a lot of time. The prayer to remember something that's in your heart that has touched you, that you can stay connected to, can take 1 minute, less than a minute, and it can be done throughout the day. There are situations throughout the world that we individually feel particularly attuned to. Places or peoples or circumstances that we feel somehow closely connected to, as compared with many different areas of suffering and trauma and difficulty. And I think that comes from two different places. Karmically, in terms of our other lifetimes, we can have an identification with a certain group of people, so that that group or that country or that situation feels more painful, like it matters more to our deeper heart. That's entirely possible, and that's just the way we're made. we identify it with soul memory on that level. And so that's good. So then you can be identified and pray for and be conscious of in an ongoing way what's happening with those you feel particularly concerned about. That's on the level of soul memory. On the level of soul purpose, it's possible for us to feel connected with our soul's purpose in a way that aligns us with certain kinds of issues rather than with others. We may feel more attuned to, for example, the manifestation of personal freedom that's being expressed today in the expansion of sexual rights, gender rights. We may feel more aligned with that growing change that's happening with people requiring respect for who they are on that level and in general. Or we could feel identified with what's happened since last year when Standing Rock came into the news and the Lakota Sioux became a word that people understood. We could still feel something about that, even though the pipeline issue has gone out of the news. It's no longer there. You have to look for it in order to find it. And as far as the reservation, that's not even there at all. Pipeline issue from Canada and elsewhere comes up sometimes. Or you could have a feeling about what's going on with the immigration controversy now, which is being brought to the foreground in relation to the children who are separated from their parents and the whole issue about human rights violation. But that's being also generated by the news media coverage right now. And the question is not going to be right now, it's going to be when that goes out of the news coverage, where are we going to be? So you have to ask your heart what matters. What matters to you? And if your heart is dependent on something that's external saying, remember this, well, then it'll come and go. But if you feel, as I'm trying to say, that your consciousness makes a difference, then it won't be dependent on the news media. Then it'll be dependent, of course, partly on what events tell you. It's not that that's irrelevant. But it'll be a stream of concern for something that's larger than yourself. It'll be a stream of concern. And that concern needs to be held in the truth of light. Because if it's just concern and events around us are dismaying or distressing, we will feel pulled by the tide of emotion into some negative belief about what's happening that won't serve anybody at all. It'll just add to the fuel of what's happening to cause fear and distress and hopelessness in this country. If we don't feel the truth of light expanding underneath whatever's happening that's distressing, then our emotions will just add to the level of darkness that's presently engaging collective awareness. Do you know what's happening in Yemen? Yemen isn't in the news. There's a human disaster happening in Yemen. Nobody knows about it because the mainstream media don't publicize it. There's a catastrophe happening in Yemen that's equal to what's happening in Syria. So we don't know about it. That's an example of what happens with selective attention. And it's not anybody's fault here, or any one person's fault. It's what's happened with news coverage as it presently exists. We don't exist in a state of unity enough so that people's plights in a general way, apart from how they impact national security or national self-interest, they don't become news. So we don't hear about them, so we don't know about them. And that's the state of affairs that's based on the isolationism of each country from every other. Of course, there are avenues of finding out about other countries. There are news media, and you're aware of them, I'm sure, that cover extensively what's happening around the world. But we wouldn't know that there's a human rights catastrophe going on in Yemen or in Somalia. or in any of the other African nations, which is ongoing, that, like Standing Rock, goes out of our awareness because of the news coverage. But it's still going on. And because it's still going on is the reason that we still have a refugee crisis with people coming into the Central European countries. Because the civil strife, the hunger and the poverty in the African nations are still going on in crisis is why people are willing to risk their lives to cross the Mediterranean to find a hope for a better life. So it's not up to you to solve the world's problems. It's up to you to choose to be conscious and to believe that consciousness makes a difference and to see if you don't believe that what you do believe. Because the choice is between the old way of looking at things, which is we each exist inside our own skin, and your body is separate from mine, and we may or may not have anything to do with each other, and our paths cross, so we learn about each other based on circumstance or personal information. You know, we get to know each other. Those are the old ways of believing of in separateness. Or we don't believe that, and we believe that everything matters that we do, and everything that we do is either a force for healing or an absence of a force for healing. The last thing I want to say about the courage to be conscious is that communication is not as fundamental as consciousness. Consciousness is how you're holding the values that you hold in your deepest self. But communication makes a difference. When somebody asks you, just take this for example. Somebody says that, you know, how are you today? Maybe you'll respond, you know, telling the person what you've done today or what's on your mind with regard to your work or something like that. But what would happen if, instead of that, you said, I'm concerned about the people of Yemen? What would happen if we didn't respond with the conventional response, but responded with something else that was more spiritually true, that was deeper? What would happen if we didn't respond in the way that is expected, but from the broader perspective of our own spiritual truth? If you do that, and I'm saying it takes courage to do that, you become an agent of change, not because somebody agrees with you, but because they're impacted by the truth that you carry. If you don't do that, then you reinforce the existing conventional way, whatever that might be, of looking at outer reality. So think about that when you're having conversations with people, how much of the time you are operating out of the conventional way of responding to somebody says, how are you? And you say what you've been doing or what your family has been doing. But nobody hears, I'm concerned about Yemen, or I feel I'm trying to hold the light around the situation with the children in Texas. I'm being concerned about the children in Texas, but I'm trying to hold the light around this is an orientation of interactivity that you're sharing with somebody because they asked, how are you? Then you become an awakener of other people. And if you don't say those things, then everything waits longer to be awakened. So that requires courage, to be able to communicate what somebody else doesn't have to reciprocally respond to. They could, but they don't have to. You, independently, need to be able to speak like that. And again, communication is an outgrowth of consciousness, but consciousness is the fundamental foundation, how you hold the values by which you live. And you walk around like that. You're broadcasting those values. And then it becomes more accessible on a conscious level to other people, not just on an energy level, if you can actually speak about what's important to you. We are living in a time of great need for people to be conscious, and especially to be conscious of the suffering of others. great need, but not only the suffering of others, just to be aware of what's going on. And so in this run-up to July 4th, I encourage all of us to have the courage to be conscious about the world we live in, and to have the courage to be able to speak from our deepest heart without the expectation of having a reciprocal arrangement, but because we want to be part of the awakening of consciousness in all of humanity, and that we know that that's what we came here to do. I send blessings and prayers for all beings, for those of us here and for those elsewhere, that we may have the courage to stand for the truths that our heart holds to be most real. May the earth be blessed. May all beings be blessed. Namaste.